Welcome to, oh, that's not good. Let me see here what's going on. What do I do? Technical difficulties, alright. Hold on. Alright, is that better? That sounds better. All right. Yeah. Linux audio. Don't use Pulse audio. For whatever reason, Pulse is not a friend of Linux. This is DJ Damaru with technical support issues and technical issues this morning. We just listened to Aisha Devi, The Seventh Element. I'm as you are maybe discovering this new album, it was the album of the week on bleep.com, but you had to buy the vinyl in order to get a download. And the only vinyl playing device I have at home is a gramophone, and it probably wouldn't play that vinyl. So I head up to Bandcamp, and yeah, starting to like Bandcamp a little more. Before we get in the gist of today's show, let's listen to a bit more music with Blue Tech, Waiting for Initiation.
Thank you.
This was Blue Tech with Waiting for Initiation. Oh, I hear myself in the speaker, and that's a strange feeling. You're listening to DJ Damaru with Evolution Revolution, and this is live from Kuti Lake on anonradio.net. The purpose of this show, there's no goal really, apart from my own enjoyment. Hey, Unimagine, long time no read. Unimagine. So today I'm just giving a few updates. I've been working on a project called lucid.observer. Super awesome domain name. I used to buy a domain name like I buy a bag of chips. It's not very often, but I just would just buy domain just because I'm rolling in bed thinking about a project and say, oh, I should buy a domain name about that project. How did the Lucid Observer came about? I'm not too sure. I want to experiment with creating an online community of some sort. And I want to see how very low technology type of thing. I don't want to be kind of hosting a server online on Amazon servers or Google servers or in the cloud so much. I want to host it from home and from there have as little requirement as possible, really. That's one of the goal, to have a very low technological barrier while being as useful as possible. So the lucid.observer server, that's a mouthful. The server would be a public Unix access server. I've been playing around with a few Raspberry Pi and a few operating systems so far, and wondering about what's the easiest way to create something interesting. Oh. Sorry, I'm looking through the chat there. If you want to chat with us, you can log into SDF, which is another public Unix access. And so why would I create a new public access? And why public access? Why not just like a Mastodon account or something like that? I'd like to create a place where we can discuss things that you might not want to have publicly. So more like getting with friends around a beer or a drink or something, or in a teepee and doing magic mushroom and talking about revolution or evolution. Like the title of my show, things that you might not talk about all around, but you'd like to discuss. Now, I'm not too sure how to, people are busy, and if they have to log in order to check in, if they have message, and if the conversation created isn't interesting enough, you know, it will kind of falter around. So there's many prong of this idea. So there's a technical aspect of it, how to create as minimal of a server that'd be as useful as possible. A secondary is how to create a community online that has a similar interest. And the interest that I'm trying to, you know, attract is people that are interested in not only evolution of their own self, so through yoga and meditation and changes in practices, but also bringing change in the community itself. So by changing who you are, what you do, changing what's happening around you. So not so much of an activist, but kind of spiritual activism, techno-spiritual activism, I don't know. It's a word to be defined. Anyway, if you're interested, you can go and check out lucid.observer. There's there's the HTML page for it, but also it's also on Gopher. So part of the idea of the server is also to keep it very low, low usage, in the sense of it doesn't run a database and a PHP and all that. It's a server for communication. So I was thinking what would be interesting would be to have some sort of a wiki or a base of knowledge and a conversation on email. And using email, open up a whole lot of worms, can of worms. That's the expression I'm looking for. So how do you create an email server that is secure and easy to use, as well as also emails that do reach where it needs to go? But yeah, all of that. It's a big question, like how to create a group of people online that are interested in a certain subject and are willing to go through the technical requirement to connect to a public Unix server in order to talk about a certain aspect. It's a bit of a pipe dream. We'll see how it goes. I'm not too sure. It's an experiment. And it's going to grow from there. I'm taking my time to learn and not to move too much into implementation. I don't want to implement something and then it crashes and then people go like, oh yeah, that thing. So I want to create something solid to start with and maybe not have all the resource to start with. So something solid and as simple as possible. And from there, taking the next step in the creation of that. We'll see what happened. It's hard to know. I like SDF as a public Unix access, but of course my tendency to talk about meditation, yoga, and revolution and evolution and all that. We're all different here on SDF. It's more of a general subject, tech-oriented community, which is awesome. And I wonder if there's a place online for still techy enough to connect to a public Unix server, and also wondering about a different crowd. I'm in a weird kind of crowd myself where I'm more, I'm the tech of the hippie. I'm the hippie of the tech. I'm the spiritual of the hackers, and I'm the hacker of the spiritual, kind of in between. And I was reading about this woman who's a spiritual activist from South America, and she talks about bridges and how she defined herself as a bridge between communities and between realities. And I thought that was a better title than a kind of a jack of all trade, to be calling myself a bridge between different knowledge and community. So by using that bridging idea, that bridging concept, I'd like to bring more of that awareness and bringing the spiritual practitioner to a more technical aspect of their life, and bringing the techies into a more spiritual reality. Well, that song is right on the spot with Hibernation. The album is called Second Nature, and the song is called Knowledge and Spirit. This was Hibernation with the album Second Nature, Knowledge and Spirit. I kind of stumbled upon that title just now as I was looking through the Blue Tech album that I played earlier, and looking at the genre of the downtempo lounge. And just checking out the downtempo lounge that's on the computer there. You're listening to DJ Damaru with Evolution Revolution, talking about a few things tonight. Today, somebody's saying goodnight and plays with my brain, but this is the morning still. So what is the idea behind creating a server in a pocket that can be moved around easily? Well, I've been experimenting with minimalism, with Linux, of course. It feels like once you move to Linux, you start to see how you can be modifying the system that you're using to fit better your life. And my path has been into minimalism of the usage of the computer. How can I minimize my time on the computer and be as efficient as possible? So not using more tools to spend more time on the computer, but use as little technology as possible and to be as efficient as possible, so that I have time to do something else than sitting in front of a computer with my life. But it brought about many other aspects or questions in the usage of technology. A few weeks ago, there was this old computer challenge happening online, and the idea was to see how minimal you can go with a computer for a week and then seeing how you're limited in your computer usage. Now, as I've been experimenting with lowering my technological need by using older laptop, for example, and using text only and offline, I've written a lot about text-only computering, and I'm very comfortable in an environment, a computer environment that is text-only, where I can play music, I still can communicate, write email, write whatever I need to write, and interact, even create music or play games in a text-only environment. And in the last few years, realizing that this is more than enough for me. My laptop itself, it boots in text only, so there's no image or anything like that. which minimizes a lot the computer need. So I feel that we're creating machines that are more and more powerful, while our needs, our human needs, are not on par with the technology that's been created. That creates a lot of pollution because we don't need all these machines, and we just end up throwing them away anyway in the garbage, although these machines are very powerful. There was this article about how the Apple Watch, the one made in gold, is now obsolete, and the power that are within this technology of the iPhone, all the Apple line, You could pretty much use a computer that's like 20 years old, and 99% of the population will still be able to use that if the operating system and the software stack on top of that machine would be updated in an intelligent way. Unfortunately, Windows and Apple, they just keep on piling up crap on their operating system, making their machine very slow. And as a tech support here for the community, I see that firsthand when people, you know, they just want to do email and Zoom with their family a couple times a year, and they don't even watch a movie on their computer, right? They're just kind of using Word and email and a bit of internet browsing, but that's about it. And they're sitting with these beautiful iMac that are, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 years old, and they don't update anymore. And they're like, so now I have to buy a new computer? And I'm like, wow, you know, with the rate at which I'm charging, I'm like, well, I could, you know, try to install Linux on your box, but then you have to learn Linux, and you know, that becomes a different story. And most people in that age group and finance group, they just don't care so much, right? They're like, well, you know, it's been 5-6 years. I paid, you know, $2,000 back then, and why not paying another $2,000 and, you know, not worry about another 5 to 10 years or something. And so Apple makes it just annoying enough that, you know, you have to kind of keep on updating your machine. But these machines are so powerful. I mean, it's ridiculous. People don't realize how powerful they are because they become slow and kind of bogged down, and they become kind of useless after a few years. And people, they don't have anything else to say but apart from, you know, got to replace that machine. And it's like, no, the machine is fine. It's the software that's a pain. So anyway, that's my rant against Apple and any big tech that wants you to change devices every other years so that they can keep on a profit instead of making machine that lasts for your whole life. Anyway, so I've been on a mission myself of minimizing my computer usage by minimizing the power that I use, changing my ways around computer while keeping up with learning tools that makes me as efficient as possible to do my job. So not a complete I give up technology, more of a let's be intelligent about technology and let's see how little we can use technology in order to have a maximum enjoyment and efficiency on the work. So in that trend, that's why I started to think about server and server access. Now with the Google, the Gmail, the Apple Mail, the Microsoft Outlook Mail, they're shielding more and more their wall garden of email, and it's getting harder and harder to create a mail server online. And even having a domain name, I use a system for my emails where another person is taking care of my email hosting and I charge my client for it. Because it's, yeah, the challenge of it, it's becoming bigger and bigger. And there's almost a war against email these days. And yeah, so it becoming very hard to create your own email server and communication tools. So these are all like the stuff that I have in my mind that I would like to see kind of a solution. How little of a server can we create that will, you know, help a small community or a group of people to communicate and have something meaningful and useful moving toward a certain goal? So a public Unix access server, it seems to be kind of one of these kind of in the lower end of technology, because Unix has always been about multi-user sharing a resource and communicating on that platform. So by leveraging the power of Unix for a small community, the technological debt or the server that you're using doesn't need to be that big. It can be very small and still very efficient. And let's listen to a bit more dub, down tempo, a dub for Mali. That was Afrolicious with the album called Dub for Mali with their song called Thursday Night, kind of swing, because it's almost kind of swing, but totally not. You're listening to DJ Damaru, Evolution Revolution. Today I was talking a little bit about Lucid.Observer. which is a small server. It's hosted on a Raspberry Pi, which are these kind of mini pocket computer or system on a chip or SoC or computer on a board. COP? I don't know how they're called. But they're a full computer on a small board that can fit in your pocket. The goal, well, there's multiple goals to it. One, I'd like to create a community of people around the subject that I'm talking about on this show and the writing that I'm doing, evolution and revolution at the same time. How to create a community online aligned with these goals without it becoming just another source of noise, just kind of another, Mastodon server where people just... posting about their breakfast and their cats, which is awesome, but I think there's plenty of that already. How to create meaningful conversation online? Is it even possible? So all these questions comes in as well, this idea of having a very minimal technological layer. So a minimal server, a minimal small computer connected from home. So it'll be a home hosted server. Well, it is. You can check it out, lucid.observer. So minimal, small, portable, and useful all at the same time, and seeing how that could be used for a small community of people talking together. I'm part of a karate club, and it's a very small group of people, and when we get together, it's very meaningful and useful. Same thing with the meditation group that I'm in, or the theater troupe that I'm participating in. They're a small group, and the effect that it has on my life is very positive. So can that be translated to an online community? It's kind of the experiment that I'm doing. Right now, I'm having a very good time on sdf.org. This is the server that's hosting Anon Radio. And I'm having a lot of fun on Anon Radio with the chat and the Friday night jam that we do sometime with the synthesizers. For me, that's kind of the apex of online fun, chatting, playing music, having a radio show, writing articles on Gopher. It's been a very fun ride, and I want to take that experience and then see if I can be applied to a more kind of a extreme or a more kind of subject oriented toward spirituality and creativity and technology. Anyway, so that's my experiment. Talking about technology, Blender 4 just came out. Blender is a 3D software. It has nothing to do with my show. Somewhat technology is related in my show, and open source. It's always exciting when a good project, open source project, makes wave out there. Open source is kind of the foundation of Linux and Unixes a little bit. And Blender has been a software to create 3D animation, cartoons, and all that, and has been having a lot of support from the community and the market. And when there's a new Blender coming out, it's always fun to check out what's going on with them. And they make normally a reel. Let me check here. Yeah, they always make a video or a reel of showing off the stuff they do with the new version. Now it's version 4, and you can check out on YouTube their Blender, or just blender.org, and their release 4, and they have a reel. They create a video with showing off all the settings or all the stuff you can do with that software. And yeah, the Blender is open source, but they're making a lot of money. So it's always good. It's a nice nice example of a project that is open source, yet it's making a lot of money and evolving quite quickly. What I find interesting with open source tool is that they keep on getting better for a long time. And compared to sometime proprietary software, and I'm looking at you, Adobe. Like, Adobe is kind of like the de facto of graphic design, and their software is just
you come back to them and it just got weirder. And while if you're looking at open source software, you get back to them, you're like, oh, they got a lot better. For some reason, the open source, because it's community driven and there seems to be some intelligence behind it compared to when it's only profit driven. There's always a problem with when the profit is only the leading factor in a product development, because the quality of the tool kind of suffer. But because of the open source mentality, if you put money in open source, it creates something very beautiful. And just in Blender, started a Blender fund many years ago. They're making $150,000 a month in donation. And huge company are supporting AMD, Epic Game, Meta, Adobe, Google, Blender Kit, Decentraland. Oh, Decentraland, that's still a thing. Wow. Anyway, and so kudos to Blender to show the way for open source community that makes good money and changes the market for that. That's my spiel, my techno spiel. I think I've been talking about technology too much today. Let's move into music and talk about non-technology stuff after this musical break with the Kalimba Time Trials from 8D. Oh.
This was Kalimba One Note original mix from 8D. Yeah, going through older stuff on my searching through different ways. I've rebuilt my library of music not too long ago, and it used to be sorted by the time I've added the music to my library, which had a bit of a, you know, I was like, oh yeah, this is when I did that party, and this is when I had that event. So there's some logical to it, but since I've copied all these files, now the temporal kind of library lost its order, and now I have no idea, and I kind of lost kind of track of my music. So I'm rediscovering with you my music today, and it's really enjoyable. You're listening to DJ Maru Evolution Revolution live from Kootenai Lake. And today I was talking a little bit about technology with servers and minimal servers, and a lot more development on that front as I'm learning more and more, move toward OpenBSD on one of my laptop, a operating system that's pretty sweet. But one thing, oh, just checking a little time check here. One thing I wanted to introduce that I will talk more about in the next show, because that's the time already of the day. It's a service that I started offering. I've been kind of dabbling into that idea of psycho-spirituality. So although I'm offering yoga classes and meditation and coaching like that, I always find that there's a lack of this understanding of emotional state, understanding of emotional intelligence, and it's something very quite needed when you're going through some meditation or spiritual evolution, if you want to call it like that. So as you're progressing in yoga and meditation, and you have some difficulties or challenges along the way, there needs to be a very solid foundation in emotional intelligence. And I find that there's not a lot of information about that within the yoga or meditation community. Buddhism has a lot more to talk about psychology. But even there, I find that the understanding of the shadow self and some kind of archetypal understanding of psychology is very useful for yoga practitioners when you're getting into some depth into your practices. It's useful at any point in your life, but I find it quite it become quite important when you get into kind of a deeper meditation state, deeper yoga practices, and a lot of stuff from your past, from your trauma, comes up. And with the traditional yoga tools, you're not super well equipped to deal with that, I find. Yet a very small amount of understanding of psychology and some tricks about how to deal with that and how to create a deeper emotional, a toolbox of emotional intelligence, it goes a very long way. When you go in a deeper practices of yoga and meditation, you're triggering stuff from your past, you're triggering trauma that comes up to the surface, and you have to deal with that one way or another. You can meditate more and try to get away from the effect of meditation, but there's also a journaling technique and other ways to deal with that. So that's something that I'm offering now, or I've started to offer, and I find that it's a very potent tool. And next week, I'll talk more about that. Tomorrow, hopefully, you'll be joining me with a composition. I'm playing music and leading some sort of meditation or reflection and or just talking about yoga, depending on the moment. Let's go back to hibernation with Wabi Sabi. Again, thanks for listening. This is DJ Damaru, every Tuesday, 1600 UTC.
Demaru.sdf.org is where I talk about my show. Lucid.observer is actually a new project of mine. If you're interested in deepening the conversation, finding ways to network like-minded people in a very low tech. I don't know. I have to create my elevator pitch for Lucid.observer. In any case, feel free to be in contact, jeff@sdf.org if you need to email, and check out my Gopher Space, Jeff, on the SDF Gopher Space. Let's close the day with Hibernation. Wabi Sabi.